Hungry Root's standard is simple but important. Step one, it's got to taste good. Step two, it's got to be quick to make. And step three, it's got to contain whole, trusted ingredients. And those three sound simple in theory, but when there's the option for takeout and there are stressful work days where meal prep isn't a priority, and when you've got picky eaters in the family, God help us, it's easier said than done. But Hungry Root makes it possible. We just built our first personalized cart after taking the fun little intro quiz, and soon my fridge will be filled with dairy-free snacks and drinks for John and the kids, prepared heat-and-eat meals for the whole family, and other high-quality groceries they're shipping over. I can't wait. Right now, Hungry Root is offering We Can Do Hard Things listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Did they say free veggies for life? Just go to hungryroot.com/hardthings to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/hardthings. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to We Can Do Hard Things. This is a really exciting day because we decided to add an episode each week. And the reason we decided to do that is because, well, we missed you. Once a week didn't seem enough. Also, we were hearing from you that you felt quite abandoned for the rest of the week. And thirdly, the responses to each episode and the questions you're sending are so amazing. And there are so many, and we haven't been able to get to enough of them on our first episode each week. So now we're coming to you for a second episode. Hi, sister.
Hello, G-Bird. This is so wild. I'm looking at you and your background looks completely different. And you, this is the first time I'm seeing you in your new state.
I know. And you all, if it's a little bit echoey, I'm very sorry. I'm doing my best, but I am in a house with nary a piece of furniture. And so the echo is just the empty halls of this home, which is in a new place. We moved from Florida to Southern California, all the way across the whole damn country, with all of us, the whole fam-damily. So me, Abby, Craig, Chase, Tish, Emma, our four dogs, just the whole, it was like National Lampoon's move across the country, but we made it. And we're here. And now I'm even further from you, sister. I miss you.
It was those hours that you're all in the plane. I mean, it was the most anxious the whole time. I'm like, everyone, that one little bucket of tin has all of my people in it. And I couldn't breathe. It was really tough. But then you landed and I realized I probably need to get medicated. And it was so happy. I'm so excited for all of you.
Thank you. We're excited too. It's all the newness here. We're trying to figure things out. We don't know anybody. We don't know what to do with ourselves. It's like that very beginning of moving where you realize, oh, I don't have a doctor. I don't have an orthodontist for my kids. I don't have any friends. I don't know. So
that's just like me normally, actually.
Yeah.
I've lived here for 20 years, but that's fine.
Right. So maybe it's actually a good excuse. Like it makes sense that I don't have any of those things. But it's interesting that you say, how you've done things the last 20 years, because the kids keep saying, well, how am I going to make friends? How am I going to make friends? And you realize, oh my God, that is such a huge responsibility when you move kids. It's like, you have to help them co-create this whole other life, this whole new life. And so Abby and I have been talking about a lot, and then we are like, wait, we have to make friends. Like, how do we make friends? Like, Emma gets to go to soccer, but like, I have no activity. Where am I going to meet people?
Yeah, but that's elective. I mean, I feel like for kids, when you think about the reality of being a kid, okay, it makes me just my blood go cold. I mean, here, small child, get on this bus. Go be shipped to this place, be surrounded by strangers, hopefully someone you've seen before, and have to forge your way every day. I mean, they have to make friends. They're just in this world. You and Abby could decide you don't want to make friends. You and Craig and Abby could hang out forever. But the They have to. It just feels very precarious and scary to be a child.
And then they have to, oh, and then by the way, and God, as a teacher, I used to watch this. We tell them, you know, make friends, be with people who are good to you. And then they don't get to pick who they hang out with.
Like, exactly.
They're stuck in the same class, on the same team. It's like the one thing about being a grown-up that is good, the one thing, is you actually get to choose who you spend your time with, mm-hmm. right? And then that is also the hard thing about being a grown-up. I mean, we're going to have to do a whole episode on friendship and what the hell it is and how we all do it or don't do it, because I have always been just freaking terrible at it. I don't get it. I think it's because you and I have been kind of everything to each other since we were born, right? So we haven't relied on outside people to, I don't know. Why do you think that I'm so bad at? It's like when I meet someone, first of all, as a sensitive person, I'm just hyper aware of everything they're doing and saying and everything I'm feeling and all of the things. But also it feels like when you start a friendship, you're signing a contract or something. Like the person's gonna, we're gonna start texting, and then that's gonna lead to emailing, and then that's gonna lead to invitations. And then I'm gonna be in this situation where I've lost complete control of my life. And this person's gonna expect things of me that I can't do, and I'm gonna end up disappointing someone. As an introvert, I always feel like I'm going to end up disappointing someone.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. I think it's based on what people need. I mean, you, when you have, with your friendships, what you need is someone who you have a deep soul alignment with, who you feel understood and can understand and that you trust deeply. And that person can be your very close friend and you can talk to them once every year and a half. And that fills your bucket up completely.
Yes.
Whereas other people, that is not their love language. Like they need the togetherness, the constant contact, the fun together, the whatever fills up their bucket. And when you don't have an alignment of those things, it's just one person hustling to fill up the other person's bucket. But that's why you and Liz are so beautiful mm-hmm. together, because that's how you operate. And so I think it's just a difference in what people are looking for.
But when I was leaving Naples, this small group of friends that I had made that I didn't spend a lot of time with, actually, but I did love. They were all so wonderful. And I was leaving and I had this deep regret feeling of like, why didn't I spend more time with these people? Why?
Oh, wow.
Like they were right here and they're so awesome. And I didn't spend. So what I'm trying to tell you is that I am going to be a new woman here. That's my goal. Like I want to spend the next decade, now that my kids are older, figuring out friendship.
You heard it here, folks. Heard it here first. Glennon's going to be a new woman. Get ready. She's texting all y'all back.
Well, no.
It starts now.
No. That's scary. But we decided we're going to say yes to everything. Craig actually knows someone here and we saw this person while we were on a family walk the other day. And this person invited us to this thing this weekend, which I believe is like a get together where people are just going to like get together.
Get together?
Yeah.
Whoa. California is wild.
I know. And the woman who was so nice and open said, would you all like to come? And guess what I said, sister? I said, yes. We are going to be the yes family of the next several months. Anyone, we're just going to say yes to anything the universe invites us to. And we're going to try to make friends. And I'm really excited.
Okay. I want you, listener, and me to begin the countdown to the point in an episode, three episodes from now, in which Glennon turns from the yes person to the yes, but please give me your phone number so I can regretfully cancel on the day of.
Right, exactly. Well, usually when I make a plan, then I just feel like it's a game of chicken that I'm hoping the other person cancels first. So right. I wait, hope, because if the other person cancels, it's so ideal because then you don't look like the flaky one who canceled. You can be so gracious that they canceled, you know, oh, disappointed, but it's okay. And it's just so ideal, you know? So what I'm saying, sister, is that I do want to have friendship in my life. And I am going to try because we can do hard things.
Thank you.
New chapter. Here we go. Friendship.
Here we go.
Friendship. Giving it an old college try.
What could go wrong? Okay. So here's what we're going to do now. We have had so many amazing questions after our conversation this week on parenting. I mean, when I tell you that we had thousands of questions through our Instagram and also through our voicemails, I would not be exaggerating. It was absolutely amazing. So we are going to get to a few more of them today during our hard cues. Does that sound good?
It sounds great. And I think that who knows if we will have answers to any of these, but I think it was just astounding how many hundreds of questions came in that were the exact same story. And I think mm-hmm. it's just for listening to understand that we are all having very similar experiences.
Yes.
And I think it's just, who knows if we have answers, but telling the story might make sure that you don't feel alone in your story.
Yeah. When you were talking, I just thought of this old poem that's like, I thought it was I alone who suffered, and then I climbed on my roof and saw that every house is on fire. Mm-hmm. Like, that's parenting.
Right.
Nobody's alone. Every damn house is on fire. And so, yeah, we don't have answers. I mean, I just got a letter from my friend Karen when I moved from Naples, and the back of it said, thank you for being a curious listener. Thank you for never offering directions to places you've never been.
Oh my God, that's good.
Because
you always use it on other people and you don't accept directions, but you also do such a good job of not offering directions because you've never been where these people are going. That's beautiful.
So if I'm just saying to you, sweet listener, if it feels like we're not answering the questions directly, that's because we're not answering the questions directly. Because we don't really have any answers. We just have, you know, solidarity.
Right.
Right. Okay. So let's go. Let's hear our first question.
Okay. This first question is a write-in, which is my favorite. How many Disney movies a day is too many?
Oh, bless you. How many Disney movies? Okay. Well, the specificity of the Disney movie reference requires me to interject. First of all, if it's a Disney movie, you must make sure that you're telling your little one, okay, little one, we do not sacrifice our voices for princes, okay? We do not fall asleep for years and be unconscious waiting for some prince to kiss us awake. Okay, so we do make sure that we, you know, are challenging old ridiculous messages in the Disney movies. Having said that, I have big feelings about Screen Time Sister. And I think that maybe any real parenting experts who are listening might blow up our feed after this. But I'm going to tell you something. I feel like most of my angst raising little kids was about freaking screen time. I mean, it was like this idea that a good parent had limited screen time and a bad parent had lots of screen time. And that was like the main indicator. And like all day when I was just dripping with children and like trying to keep everyone occupied, there was this running shame voice in my head. Like, how many hours has it been? How many minutes has it been? And I don't know. I just put so much guilt upon myself for how long they were watching TV. Then I started thinking about what that is all about. And I think there's some part of it that is our culture's obsession with constant productivity and no rest. It's like when we see people resting, especially our children who we are supposed to be responsible for molding, we feel shame because our culture teaches us that rest is shameful, right? But when I think back actually, sister, to my best memories of childhood, and this could be because of my homebodiness and my obsession with coziness, but My best memories are, do you remember on Thursday nights when we used to actually be able to sit down on the couch and watch Family Ties?
Mm-hmm.
And just
that's
all
why
snuggle?
We quit gymnastics.
Yes, because it was on Thursday nights. Yes, we were not ready to give up our one freaking half hour of sitting there. Like snuggling up with your family or yourself and like being on the couch and watching TV is so wonderful.
It is. It is. It is. And that's, I think the, I mean, I love the question because it's the difference between like if you're on a tablet 24 hours a day or if
that's a different thing, right?
Please see my child playing God knows what on whatever terrible video game it is. But the it feels wholesome, the movie nights or the TV nights. It feels like, look at us. We're basically doing an activity.
Oh my God. Haven't you gotten to that point? Like the screen time, the individual screen time has become so intense that now if my whole family is watching TV together, I'm like, oh my God, this is a freaking Norman Rockwell moment. Like we are, this is A plus parenting.
We are basically camping in a national park right now.
Oh my God. This is a shared experience of love and joy. And by the way, I'm going to say this one thing. I like doing things with the kids. I like adventures, yada, yada. But my favorite family moments are when we are all in a row staring at something, not talking. And when it's a screen, that's helpful. Like when we are snuggled together, no one is talking to each other and we are all together. I love that. I love when no one is talking to each other. So I don't know.
So the answer is none.
No, no. It's,
none is too many. No, opposite of that.
Wait.
There is no such thing as too many movies with togetherness and family time. Also,
you heard it here.
You heard it here first. Watch them. And then if you watch like a documentary, forget it. That counts as reading time too.
Right. Right. Think, you know what you can do if you're worried about reading time and teaching your children, just turn on the closed captions. Excellent reading activity.
We read for 8 hours today.
Oh my God. And then, you know, they yell for a snack and you give them an apple. That's freaking health class basically. You know, and then they have to figure out the remote technology.
STEM.
You're basically creating a STEM genius. So you heard it from the sisters here. We can do easy things like lots of movies incorporating the curriculum into that couch time.
Amazing.
I love online shopping. It's how I process my feelings. When you combine the convenience of online shopping with prices that allow you to save 50%, sometimes 80%, it's a slam dunk. And that's why I shop on Quince. No more going to a store and being faced with prices that make your jaw drop. Quince has an amazing selection of lush sweaters, silk tops, timeless jewelry, and everything is priced less than similar brands. Plus, it feels good knowing that whatever I order, I've actually ordered the white gold pave diamond hoop earrings that I'm wearing all the time, was made using safe, ethical practices thanks to Quince's partner process. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/hardthings for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/hardthings to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/hardthings.
Okay, next question. This is a call-in.
So yeah, my name is Alexandra. I am sitting here calling you, rocking my baby. I guess I have a question about my baby and parenthood. I'm wondering if y'all have advice on navigating some of the transitions with identity when it comes to becoming a new parent. I've just been sort of blindsided by how quickly I feel like my priorities have shifted and how the impact that becoming a mother has had in my relationship with my friends and with my husband and with my own parents and my siblings. So I guess if you have any thoughts on how to navigate being a new parent and understanding identity shifts, that would be really great. I love your show, and I hope you guys are doing okay. Bye.
Okay. Well, I want to start by saying navigating is probably not the right word. Like, navigating is when I think of a boat and you're holding like a map and the weather is fine and you're like, which way should we go? I'm going to plan this trip. But she said she was rocking a baby, okay, which means she just had a baby. So your boat, there's a large storm. A large storm has come, okay? Mm-hmm. A very large storm. And you're a captain of that boat. And so the map is gone. Like, you're not right now deciding which way to go, planning a route, okay? You're, when the baby comes, the storm is a brewing.
And batten you're the hatches, people.
Batten the freaking hatches. Like, you're not like, oh, how do I navigate my friendships? How do I navigate my relationship with your friends are dead to you. Your mom's dead to you. This is not, no. Okay. This is storm level. It's like emergency time, right?
It's like the fog of war. I remember when that was the most helpful, one of my friends, like 3 weeks in, texted me and was like, how is it going in the fog of war? And it was so liberating because it really truly feels like you're in a war zone and you're just like, you're like army crawling through the day. And I think if we just set it up like that, then people would feel less ashamed of the very logical consequences of war. But Alexandra just put all those words together.
I mean, Alexandra is an overachiever. And
guess who doesn't need an answer from us? Alexandra.
Damn
Lord
right.
have mercy.
Yeah, Alexandra, you with all of those fancy sentences and words that make sense are crushing it. Okay. But for everyone else who was more like us, and not putting together sentences at the beginning. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about identity and keeping ourselves. And, you know, that's what Untamed was all about. And I just don't think any of it applies to new parents. Like, I don't think you can have nice things with you. You can't have nice things like an identity and peace. It's just survival mode. So I think one thing you can do is release the desire, release the need for that, and just know that during this time, it is a bit of a time outside of time, right?
Yeah.
And you don't have to be terrified that you're never, ever going to get yourself back. You will. If you're already thinking about getting yourself back when you have an infant, that's coming. Okay. So there will be a time when once again, you're trying to find your soul, you know, separate from this role that you've just taken on. But for now, Alexandra, just go easy. Go easy on you. The war will pass. The storm will pass. You once again will be navigating your own life.
So true. And when you think about it, how many times does someone start? You start a brand new big job, right? You just got a big promotion. You start a brand new job. People lead with, oh, have you seen, you know, Mark lately? No, he just got a brand new position. He's really over. Like, Mark isn't worried about his identity and navigating his relationship. Mark just got a brand new, really big ass job. Okay. Right. So did you, Alexandra. You just keep on keeping on through that job and you'll come back.
You'll come back. Be like Mark.
Be like Mark. I wish you got paid like Mark, Alexandra.
Yeah. Do I? Damn it to hell, Mark.
Okay. This is a write-in. Glennon. Did you ever feel guilty for just wanting to be alone sometimes?
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. This is a story I want to tell about this. It's quick, I promise. But I was doing Dr. Brené Brown's podcast early in the Untamed days when it first came out. And we were talking about this ridiculous situation we find ourselves in parenting, where we are still human beings who have needs, but like suddenly no one cares. Right?
N-A, not applicable.
Not N-A. Applicable. Your needs and personality and none of that matters, right? And Brené was talking about this situation where she had just come home from this long business trip, okay? And she was freaking exhausted. She was freaking mm-hmm. exhausted. But she got home and that night, one of her kids had this school event. And she just felt like she could not go
mm-hmm.
because she was so desperate for some alone time. Because
and I'm sure she gets mobbed at those things.
Exactly. And- of course she does. And she just needed a minute. But of course the mom guilt of like, mm-hmm. oh, I've already been gone. And now I'm going to tell my kid that I can't go to a school thing. I probably missed three things this week. And now I'm here.
Yeah.
But she, her need was so desperate that she just did it. She said to her son, I'm so sorry. Like, I can't go to that thing. I need some alone time. Right? Yep. Okay. A week later, her kid, there was something that he was supposed to go to for school. And he said, no, I'm not going to go. I can't go. I don't want to go. He came to her and told her a story about how he feels like he's an introverted person. And sometimes he feels like there's no space for him in the world, that he has to go to all of these things, or he's being mean, or he's being antisocial, or he's being whatever. He didn't know that you got to say, no, I have needs. I need alone time. He didn't know that until Brené did it, until Brené modeled it for him.
That's
and
awesome.
Her saying, no, I'm not going to her own kid's thing allowed him the freedom to say, oh, I see. We are human beings who have needs and personalities, and we get to assert them. We get to say no. So I would just say to that caller, like, or that write-in, maybe switch it. Like, instead of saying, oh, I have this need that is going to take away from my child, like it's a zero-sum game. It's like, no, I have this need and I need to show it to my child. So my child knows that whatever needs they have, they get to get met also.
That's so good. Because same with every other need.
Yes.
If you need to cry in this moment because you're so overwhelmed, I'll do that sometimes where I used to try to keep it in. And then I'll just like get super upset and I'll just say, I'm having a really rough time right now. It's not you guys. It's just, I'm having a really rough time. And it's just for any need that you're modeling, then they don't have to be secretive about their own needs or feel like there's something wrong with them.
Yes.
That's good.
So then one day when Bobby's or Alice is feeling overwhelmed and they just need to break down, they get to, because mm-hmm. they've seen their mom have that freedom and they get to have that freedom too without shame. So yeah, that's my answer to that sweet. Just be alone. Talk about your need to be alone in front of your kids.
Great.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want. Fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and more. Whatever you're interested in, no matter your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off your first purchase when you use the code HARDTHINGS at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code HARDTHINGS at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code HARDTHINGS. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Here's another write-in. Glennon, why do they just keep talking?
Oh, my God. Because we taught them that. We steered them so wrong. This is my thought about that. So when I was growing up, I felt we all had different parents. Our parents were raising us in different generations. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So I always had this feeling that there was not enough room for me to speak or to have big feelings, mm-hmm. right? As a kid. So in response, because so many of us are just parenting in response, right? Everything that our parents did, we're just doing the opposite. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's what happens when that's the way we parent. I taught my children to express every freaking thing mm-hmm. that comes to their freaking minds, to talk about every feeling that they have. And sometimes, sister, you know this, sometimes I'm listening, I'm looking at my child who has been speaking at me for 2 hours about their feelings. It's like a hostage situation, right? And I'm just looking at them thinking, oh, I have done you so wrong. Like, I should have taught you the benefits of suffering silently. I have overcorrected. And now you think that everybody cares about every single thing that you think or feel or what. So I still prefer that to not having enough room. And I think in the long run, it works out. But it's just this idea that we're really just like pendulum parenting. Actually, yes. We should do a whole episode about that. Just this idea that we're pendulum parenting, that whatever childhood trauma we have, we just go the absolute opposite and just screw them up the other way.
Right? Yes. That's exactly right. Kind of like how we were like, we knew what we were supposed to do and what we weren't supposed to do. And there was a lot of discipline in our house. And I feel like I go the opposite way where I'm like, well, I realize why this would be so frustrating to you. And oh, I know God. It's so. And then I'm like, uh-oh, I accidentally made assholes. Yeah. So because I'm just so, I don't want the like hyper disciplined environment.
Yeah.
And it's going completely the other way. And it's so fascinating because if you really, I know this is off the talking concept, but I was talking to my friend who also had a very disciplined household. And she was like one of very many children. It was all like work ethic, taking care of yourself, taking care of the family. So at 6 years old, she is baking the entire family's bread consumption for the week. They literally had like chickens. She's baking for the family. So needless to say, she's a very self-sufficient person, has been through a lot. So we were talking recently about, you know, we've learned to take care of ourselves so much, and we're growing up raising these kids who are going to have other people tying their shoes until they graduate from college because we're just handing them everything in response to that.
Correct.
And I was like, I just don't know. Are they ever going to get a job? And she's like, you know what? I don't know if that's true. She's like, we tell ourselves that, but is that true? And might they just be happy? And is that okay? And it made me think of this idea that sometimes we reframe our things that we've been through, our difficulties, and we create this like causal link between those difficulties and our strength now to make sense of it, right? To say it's because of that, that we're like this. But it's just super interesting to think, is that always the case? And does the pendulum, because there's always this guilt, right? The same thing with, now my kids have no discipline and I have this guilt because they're not going to have the self-discipline I have. Like, is that true? Or is it that we just create a story about the stories of our life and about how we came out, and that they're not everything and we're raising our kids and not everything our kids are need to be in response to our own stories and our own experiences?
Yeah, that's so true. It's like we're creating the pendulum out of air. Like maybe the stories aren't really at all. Yeah, that's interesting. Cool.
But yes, they talk way too much. Okay, here's a call in.
My name is Allie. First of all, hello to Glennon's sister and the pod squad. I'm just curious, after hearing you guys talk about drinking and both of your relationships with it, how both or either of you approach it with your children, and especially your children who are like in high school or going into college. That's a really interesting topic for me that I feel like isn't covered a lot in most Substance podcasts or talks. Thank you guys so much.
This is a tricky one. I have no, black and white answers for this, because for us, it's talking about alcohol has been kind of like talking about sex. Like, we just do it often, but like poorly. Like,
we don't really know. You do sex often and poorly?
No, we don't. We don't. No, we just do sex poorly. But the sex talks is what I'm saying. Like, it's not okay. Like a one-time thing. It's just like this ongoing attempt,
right?
To basically, when I'm talking about alcohol or sex with my kids, I'm not really trying to deliver any information. I'm really not. I'm just trying to make the actual topic less terrible and awkward to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because I never know exactly. I mean, sex is a freaking quagmire of confusion for me. So it's not like I have any expertise I'd like to share.
You're like, would you like broccoli or carrots tonight? Vulva. Anyway.
Exactly. And P.S., I think, so the kids now are like, whatever, mid-teens to older teens. It's just starting to become less terribly awkward to talk about. And I've been trying for so many years. Anyway, she's talking about alcohol. Okay. My kids know everything about my alcoholism. Not every detail, but they do know that their mom started drinking very, very early, and that it became addicted to alcohol, and that it deeply negatively affected my life for a very long time until I quit. And that Abby and I are a sober family, right? So they don't see alcohol in our house. We're not we have no alcohol. And they also know that they have likely a gene that might make them more susceptible to becoming addicted to alcohol should they allow it to become part of their life. Okay. So I would say that I don't know in the long run how that will affect them. I don't know if they will be drinkers. I don't know if they will be sober. I don't know any of that. I don't know how it's going to affect them in the long run. I just know that they do have the information that they need. And I'm trying to just kind of make sure that they know the truth about that. What do you have much younger kids. What do you plan to, or do you already talk about?
We just talk about, I mean, they know what wine is. They know what beer is. They know, they did ask when I stopped drinking. They asked, well, why did you stop drinking? And if there was a reason for you to stop, why does daddy still drink? So, you know, they're obviously noticed things. And I just said, I stopped drinking because I was concerned that that I could possibly become addicted to drinking, and addicted to drinking means that you, that it controls you instead of you controlling it. And daddy does not have the same fear or concerns about being addicted. And I just say drinking is, you know, having some alcohol is fine when you start to feel out of control. It isn't, but it's fine for some people and not fine for other people. So I haven't talked to them about their predisposition to this yet, but we just kind of talk about it regularly.
Yeah.
And in that way.
And it's interesting when there's one parent that drinks alcohol and the other one that doesn't. You have to be very careful, we have found, not to assign moral value to deciding not to drink or to drink, right? Because if you are a sober family, you know, if Abby and I are sober, the kids as young, I was afraid that they would start to think, oh, not drinking good, drinking bad. Because Craig has beers, right? Mm-hmm. So I did notice that, you know, one of my kids would start to make comments about people who were drinking, like they were making bad choices, even if they were adults, you know? So I had to kind of get in there with that.
If you want to learn something new, would you rather learn it on your own, from a random teacher, or from folks who are the best of the best in that skill? I think I know which option most of you would choose. That's made possible by Masterclass. In recent months, they've added classes from the likes of Ava DuVernay, who gives us tips on how to reframe our thinking in all walks of life. One of our personal favorites recently was the one-on-one time we got with Amy Poehler in her class on preparing to be unprepared. So good. With Ava DuVernay. With over 180 world-class instructors and a 30-day money-back guarantee for new members, there's no reason not to get started today. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/hardthings. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/hardthings. Masterclass.com/hardthings.
Such amazing cues. I think that this parenting Q&A or Q and more Qs.
Q and Q. Q and
is Q and S, Q and solidarity.
Yes.
But we want to end our second, our episode 2 a week with something that is making life easier, right? Because we can do hard things, but sometimes we just need a little ease and joy. So I have a couple things. Can I start this one?
Yes.
I don't know if you have anything that's making life easier, but I have two things. Okay. The first thing is this show that I can't tell you. I love it so much. My whole family loves it. We've been just inhaling it, and it's called Hacks. Okay.
Oh my gosh, you've been tweeting about this.
Oh my God, I cannot stand it. It's with Jean Smart, who is just so freaking brilliant in it. And it's about this older woman comedian and younger woman comedian and how their lives intertwine. And it's just, it's feminist, but it's like, and it end, it's full of heart and the writing is incredible and the messages are so good. And our whole family has been watching it together. There's a few spicy parts that we had to, you know, like sweat through with the children. So just know that. They'll start some good sex and drug talks, actually, if you would like to jumpstart those conversations.
Another reason the movie night is so good.
Right. Look at that. It's like a freaking after school special. You can just, right. Yeah. But I just think it's special. I think it's so different, but it reminds me of like the Ted Lasso of this year. It's just full of heart. It's like if it's like the, I don't know, Hacks will make your life easier and better. Okay, and then there's this also amazing thing that people have been trying to get me to try for ages. And I kind of have this like sneaking suspicion that every single day that it will change my life if I do it. And I still don't do it ever. Because
there's
it feels
so
to
many
me-
things this could be. As you're leading up, I'm like, there's like 30
what do you
things
think? Take a guess. What could it be? Okay. So it's this idea that all of these health nut people are always telling me to do. And it's called drinking water.
Oh yeah. That's very on trend.
It's like water is like, it's like if you took a coffee, but then you filtered out the coffee, what would be left is called water. And it's like this clear, thing, liquid that, I don't know, sporty people drink.
Where can you get it?
Coffee.
Where do you get yours?
I mean, there's different places, but like in my kitchen, I have this like thing that I just go and it just pours out. It just Whoa. Pours out. I know. So I've been drinking water and I've been trying for, everyone's going to get mad at me, but I'm just trying for 2 glasses a day at the beginning. I know, sister, it's bad. I'm serious. I don't drink water. I'm a dehydrated prune. Okay. But I would like to so far extol the virtue. The life-changing virtue of water. Like, I feel better. I feel better with just my 2 little glasses. I'm going to go for 3. Okay, so
jury's still out on this, people, but Glennon has a hunch. Water good.
Yes. It makes me feel better. Okay, so I feel like after I drink a glass of water, I feel like I'm one of those health gurus. Like I should be an influencer. I should be a health influencer.
Did you get sponsored by water?
I know. Okay. So we can do hard things, but we can also do easy things. We can watch Hacks. And by the way, I don't like know them or like I don't have any
like affiliation with that.
They're going to write to us and be like, please stop invoking our show in your show.
And
drink a glass of freaking water. Okay. Every time I think, I'm a big thinker. I have big feelings. I get really overwhelmed. Okay. And so at least once a day, I think I have to have a new life. I have to like quit my job. I have to have a new state. I have to move. I have to have a new family. I have to have a new religion. I have to have new friends. I hate everything. I need all of these big things. And what I think I really need is just a glass of water.
Yeah. Right?
Like when the big feelings come, think small. Drink a glass of water. We love you so much. We can do hard things, but let's also try easier. All right, we'll see you next week. We Can Do Hard Things is produced in partnership with Cadence 13 Studios. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. Especially be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, don't worry about it. It's fine.
I am an outdoors person. I'm a big fan of places that are rich in culture, history, and art. And most importantly, I'm a former resident of the great state of Oregon, which is why I want to tell you about Travel Oregon. When you find a guide through Travel Oregon, you'll be able to leave the planning to the local guides and experts, and this is a game changer. Instead of trying to find a good hiking trail and hope for the best, you can get a tour guide to bring you to the must-see spots, ensure you're provided with all the necessary safety gear, and show you all the amazing little nuggets you might miss on your own. And because the guides and tour companies are small businesses, they're led by incredibly passionate people. You can find experts who speak multiple languages and know about a variety of cuisines. Or if you want a biking tour, you can find local guides to help you to customize your tour. There's so much to explore. Learn more at traveloregon.com.